Today on Real Radio.
And that is not the way God works with us. It's not the way God is. He has spoken and he has dealt with us in absolutes. We're living in a culture today that will not embrace absolutes because it causes us to make a stand. But yet our God is a God of absolutes.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise, my heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord. I live for your love.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been in chapter 3 of this letter written by Paul, and he's been speaking of the mystery, which is now revealed. There is equality between the Jew and the Gentile who follow Messiah. Today's presentation focuses on verses 7 through 10 and is called The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He says in verse 1, chapter 3, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." There's a movie that we saw a long time ago. I don't remember the title, but in preparing this message, it came to my mind. And so I want to share it with you. I don't remember the actor, but I remember this scene that caused me to think concerning the unsearchable riches of Christ and this great mystery that Paul's talking about. This guy was committed to killing himself in the movie. And it's pretty funny because every time he attempted to commit suicide, he failed miserably. And then he became very depressed because he didn't have the chutzpah to even go through with killing himself. So he's thinking, well, I can't even successfully, commit suicide, and I've got to really do it hard this time and do it right. So somehow in the movie, he winds up way out at sea. I don't know if he throws himself overboard or whatever, but he's out at sea, and he's trying to tread water. Now he's beginning to succumb to this insane attempt of taking his own life, and he's infused with a bit of hope, and his mind has changed, and he wants to live now. And in the whole 2 hours, he's been trying to kill himself, but now he wants to live. And he says, "Oh, God, save me. I've never called on you before, but I'm calling on you now. And if you'll just save me, God, I'll give you everything I own." Like God needs that. I'm sure that caught God's eye. Oh, hey, wow, we could really capitalize on this one. "I'll give you everything I own." And he starts swimming towards shore, and he's crying out to God, "And I'll just give you my life, I'll serve you, and you can have my car, you can have my house." And he realizes, and he strains his neck, and he's a little bit closer to shore, and he says, "God, if you'll just save me, if you just save me, I'll give you 80% of everything I have. I promise, God, just save me, I don't want to die, and I'm sorry for all this." He gets a little closer, and he says, "God, I'm a man of my word. And if you save me, I'll give you 50% of all that I have." So, of course, you get the gist. By the time he gets to shore, he says, "Oh, God, it's okay. I made it. I'm just going to keep everything I have to myself. Thanks a lot." And he walks away. In his dealing with God, he's thinking, you know, I can somehow manipulate God and maybe get something my way, and if it turns out, fine, and if not, well, I'll bargain with God. And that is not the way God works with us. It's not the way God is. He has spoken and he has dealt with us in absolutes. We're living in a culture today that will not embrace absolutes because it causes us to make a stand. But yet our God is a God of absolutes. And God has said in his word that he has saved us through the revelation of Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and he has saved us, and that's the way he saves all of mankind. There's no other way. And such a work of God through the Son of God, by the Spirit of God, is a mystery to so many people today. We'll touch on it about many today, even in the church. But in the Old Testament times, they did not see how God was going to save mankind. And the Jews believed that, of course, God was going to save them, but not the Gentiles. And the book of Ephesians is a tremendous book of not only bringing Jew and Gentile together in Christ, but I think the book of Ephesians is the answer to any racial strife there is in the world. It's the answer, because it says that through Christ, all of us become one. It's interesting to me that if you were to turn somebody inside out, we look exactly the same. But how culture and how society treats one another is a whole different story. Paul is saying, Gentile and Jew, black and white, yellow or green, you've come into one in Christ. And it's a great mystery that God would save out of the world those of us who are Gentiles tonight. It's a great mystery. God's not going to make any deals. He's not going to make any attempts that deviate from his word. He won't do it. And a lot of people are approaching Christ on their terms. And Paul says, no, there's one way to come to him, and we do well to listen to that way, because when we come to Christ according to God's prescribed manner, we will enter in to this incredible relationship concerning the unsearchable riches of Christ, and it is a mystery. And I have to confess, in looking at this study, so much of what God offers us tonight is still a mystery to me, and I hate to admit that, but I have not experienced all that God wants me to experience. You know, it's pretty cool when you're standing, outside of Thrifties, or now it's Payless, on a very warm summer night, and you're sitting there licking the ice cream cone. They got the best ice cream, and everything's just perfect. You know, you're feeling pretty good, the nice summer breeze, and you got your ice cream cone, and everything couldn't be better. And you're just thinking, well, I'm happy. I'm content. Well, you think you are. But if you just look a little bit further down the road, you'll see, oh, hey, there's, and we did this the other night. Brett Williams and I were standing out in front of Payless just licking the ice cream cones. Isn't this great? Yeah, this is great. This is great. Oh, this is great. And we're just licking those cones, man. And you know what he said? He goes, look, over there's a Baskin-Robbins. And all of a sudden, that Payless cone didn't taste all that good. There's something better. Baskin-Robbins. You know, and I justified us eating at Payless because I said, well, you know, it costs an arm and a leg to go over there and have what we have in our hand right now, you know. Try to make myself feel better. But it wasn't any Baskin-Robbins I was eating. A lot of Christians are experiencing something and they're thinking, well, this is pretty cool. It's pretty good. You know, I got my little Christian house, I got my Christian job, I got my Christian thing, I got a sticker on my car, I wear Christian shirts. And we think by doing this that we've set up enough signs and enough stimuli around us to cause us to think that we're living the Christian life, which Jesus says is the abundant life. He said he's come to give us an abundant life. And if you're living in our hope, sometimes we often say, well, is this the abundant life? It's kind of a joke in our house. You know, the coffee pot's exploding or the microwave is frying you when you walk by and things are going crazy and you got to stop and say, is this the abundant life? No, you know, the abundant life and the unsearchable riches of Christ is what you and I need to enter into as believers. We can sit here tonight and read the book of Ephesians. We can study it like we're going to do. But if we fail to enter into the reality of what it teaches, we will not, I repeat, we will not experience the power and the effective working of God's Spirit in our lives, like Paul had and so many believers who have preceded us in the faith. May we as a church never become satisfied with where we are with Christ. May we continue on. Remember the Beatles used to sing this song, Listen, Do You Want to Know a Secret? Remember that song? Can somebody stand up and sing that right now? You know, it's a great little song. You listen to the words. And he goes, listen, do you want to know a secret? And he you know, you're supposed to like, yeah. And he goes, I love you. And Paul is saying that there's a mystery. This word mystery is a secret. It's God's kind of secret. And boy, God can keep a secret. Because throughout the entire Old Testament, he didn't tell the world how he was going to save quite clearly and whom. They didn't have a clue he was going to save people like us. Gentiles. They couldn't see it. In Colossians 1:27, the Bible says, to them God willed, he willed it, to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's us. You can put your name right there. The mystery among Jack, which is Christ in him, the hope of glory. We can read that and say, well, that sounds pretty neat, but is Christ in you? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? If you would have told the Old Testament believer, there's coming a time, there's coming an age, there's coming a dispensation when God himself would move into your life by the person of the Holy Spirit and dwell in you, it would have blown their minds. You see, King David, Saul, Elijah, Isaiah, Zechariah, Micah, the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would speak under the power of the Holy Spirit and then he would leave. He would never indwell them. You and I experienced something that King David never knew. That's why David cried out in the Psalm, O God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You and I can never say that if we're believers tonight. God will never take his Holy Spirit from us. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, concerning the Holy Spirit, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And that's the biblical mystery that Paul is talking about, and it's been made known to us during this dispensation or the church age. He says in verse 7, and we'll take verses 7 and 8, and it is really the mystery that was all important to Paul personally. He says, of which I became a minister, and you ought to underline the word became. It can also be translated, of which he made me a minister. I became a minister. God was working in his life. He says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of the Holy Spirit. Paul is talking about grace here. Paul was the great preacher of grace. In fact, his gospels or his message that he preached, a lot of commentators have summed up Paul's preaching and have referred to it as the gospel according to grace. Paul speaks about grace more than any other New Testament writer. But grace flows from a life that has received grace. Did you hear that? People who are gentle and gracious, and I love to be around them, are people who have received gentleness and grace from God. I love to be around big sinners, because big sinners who have been forgiven love much. A person who has experienced the grace of God in their lives delight in extending grace to other people. Those are the kind of people I want to be around. Why? I need grace. And of course, grace is that Greek word that means unearned, unmerited, listen, favor. But Jack, I thought God's not a respecter of persons and he doesn't show favor or partiality to anyone. That's true in the way of hierarchy. God doesn't listen to Billy Graham's prayers more than yours. He won't do that. Listens to them the same. But when it comes to God lavishing favor on somebody, God literally looks to and fro throughout all the earth to look for somebody to pour his grace upon. And I hope when he passes across this church, he goes, man, look at all them big sinners there. I better pour out a lot of grace on that Calvary Chapel there. And then, you know, that goes against our religiosity, doesn't it? what would happen today if somebody stepped up to the plate and gave Charlie Manson an absolute pardon? We'd go into a rage, wouldn't we? What if Charlie Manson, absolutely in the privacy of his own life and heart before God, comes to his senses? The poor man's insane and possessed, but comes to his senses and repents before God, and let's say the system offers him a pardon. Or let's say God on Judgment Day says, Charlie Manson, I heard your cry in prison, and you've been set free. How would you handle that? How would you handle that if he killed one of your relatives? You know how we are. God, you can just step aside now. I'll take it from here. Let's kill them. Let's fry them. Somebody does us wrong, and what do we want to do? We want to fry them. I'll take care of it. And that's wrong. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. I shall repay, saith the Lord. That's God's business. But listen, if you have been forgiven a great debt, and I don't want to burst your bubble tonight, but every one of us in this room have been forgiven a debt so great that the best person in here tonight, if you would have been the only one living in this entire world throughout all history, your great good life still would have put Christ on the cross. That's how hideous your good life is to God, because we're all sinners. But if you understand that you've been forgiven, that generates grace. And by the way, the Bible teaches us that we are all to be ministers of grace, forgiving people, being gentle. 2 Timothy 2:6 says the hardworking farmer must first be partakers of the crop. And I like that. A person who's experienced grace extends grace. And if a man goes out and sows seed into the field, that farmer is the first one to eat of the fruit that is harvested. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you know, down in, or here in the valley in Chino area, we grow the best corn around, if you ask me. And listen, when you boil the water, don't throw the corn in there and let it sit there for 10 or 20 minutes boiling. You're going to really rip yourself off. Bring your water to a boil. Bring your water to the boil. Plop that corn in for about 3 minutes and pull it out. Or, tastes the best that way. Or, when you buy it at the stand, just open it up and eat it right there on the spot. Have you ever tried that? Oh, no way. It's awesome. And that's exactly what the farmer does. He's out there checking it out. And you know what he does? He walks up there and he rips that thing open. He feels it, smells it, and takes a bite out of it. Why? He's the farmer. He's partaker of the first fruits. A person who extends grace has received grace. The farmer who harvests the crop gives it out. And he knows the quality of the product that he's giving because he's tasted it. He knows. When we extend grace to one another, we know exactly how that person feels when grace is given to them. Unearned favor. We, you, I, pick them out, and undeserving, we give them what is not due to them. And isn't it a joy to do that? Have you been forgiven much? It's wonderful to forgive people. Jesus says, you forgive because you've been forgiven. Jesus says, you withhold forgiveness. I too will withhold forgiveness from you. Jesus told of a parable of a man who owed like $15 million to his boss. And his boss or the collector came and said, you owe me $15 million. And he says, oh, please be gentle. You know, I can't pay it. And the man says, well, the debt's canceled. It's okay. Then the guy walks out of his house, goes down the street, and grabs a guy by the neck who owed him $15. And he says, give me the $15 you owe me. And the guy says, man, I can't pay. I can't. Into prison you go. And when that master heard that the man who was forgiven the $15 million could not forgive the debt of the man who owed him $15, he says, you're going to prison, pal, and you're not going to come out till you've paid every last bit, because you failed to extend grace. But to those of us who are sinners and we know it, it's an easy thing. Having received blessings from God, we want to bless others. If we've received mercy from God, we want to extend mercy to others. Love, forgiveness, acceptance, and the grace of God. Each spring in Russia, the Russian people, they go out to, when the snow melts, they go out to their dachas. That's their, the government, this communist Soviet Union gave them a parcel of land, all of them. And you can build a mansion on it, or you can build a little shack, depends upon how much money you have, what kind of resources you have. But they all go out there on the weekends and sometimes during a long extended time during the summer. And it's really kind of cute because I just had this happen to me. They're out there farming and working their land. And then when it comes fall and winter, that's how you eat. Because during the harvest time, they bottle everything and pickle everything and prepare it all and store it up for the winter. And there's this Valia and Victor, they prepared this incredible mushroom soup. It is the best. Everything she cooks is the best, this lady. And it's just incredible soup. And the thing is, you know, they said, we want you to sit down and have this soup. It's great. Well, I'd never had it before. But they knew how great it was because they had been partakers of it first and they wanted to extend it to me. And I sat down and I ate it and I ate more and I ate and I ate it. And now the thing is, you know, when are you going to come to eat more soup? They first had it, they enjoyed it, and they wanted to share it. That's exactly how you are. You've been forgiven. God's grace has been effective in your life. You want to give it out. That's the wonderful thing about evangelism. We share what we know. And Paul experienced the grace of God, and he couldn't wait to give it to other people. Boy, did he experience the grace of God. And look what he says here. He says that it was a gift given to him, and it says, by the effective working of his power. This is a tremendous statement. The effective working. The word effective, in some of your Bibles, is effectual. Listen, it's energio in the Greek. No big deal, but energio. And then working is energia. Effective working. Energio, energia. Energio is to be continuously active. God is in you right now. Isn't that good news?
I don't feel like it.
Well, he is. Having a rough time, having a rough year. God is at work.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 and verses 7 through 10. It's a study called The Unsearchable Riches of Christ, part of a fascinating series through this Pauline letter that emphasizes equality between the Jew and the Gentile who follow Messiah. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder that Election Day, November 4th, is fast approaching. And in California, we have Proposition 8 on the ballot, a serious attack on marriage. Now, even if you're not from California, don't be fooled by the rhetoric. The civil rights of churches, pastors, and all God-fearing people are at stake. Again, even if you don't live in California, it's important for anyone who supports the idea of marriage being defined as between one man and one woman to be informed on this issue. And so on our website, we've set up a special educational section about the facts of so-called homosexual marriage. Even if you live in different parts of the country, eventually this issue will make it to your state. In the meantime, you can share this website with your friends and family. Visit realradioactive.org to view Pastor Jack's video answers to questions that keep coming in about marriage, homosexuality, civil rights, and so forth. Again, that's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.